the perfect season. And perhaps the sweetest premiership of all. And strike around the body. P.S. he loves it.
They've got the chocolates and he might have the chicken.
All right, gather around, gather around. Look each other in the eyes. Put your game faces on and strap yourself in because it's time for the Monday Waffle Podcast.
Welcome to episode 2 for 2019, following all the action of round 1. We saw a couple of tight wins and also a couple of big wins, as well as West Coast taking the park for the historic first game in the Waffle. Your host this week, Sam Girling.
Hey, hey.
Welcome to you. And Grady Wolf.
Hello.
Welcome to you. And myself, Andrew Murdoch. We've got a jam-packed show today.
We've got two stars who performed exceptionally well on the weekend. Hayden Schloeth from South Fremantle and Gerald Ugel from Peel, who booted 4 goals in their win.
We've also got 2 winning coaches from the weekend, from Perth, Earl Spalding, as well as Bo Waterman, who has taken the reins at Subi this season.
So 2 winning coaches as well as 2 winning players. Absolute jam-packed on the Monday Waffle. And to bring it home, the Monday Rumble returning for its second ever appearance, where we dissect an issue of the week. This week, we're going to find out whether the Waffle should do their best to spread the fixtures more across the weekend, whether they should try and do their best to have more maybe Thursday night games, more Friday night games, more Saturday and Sunday games, and whether that's feasible. But for now, let's just get stuck into it. First things first on the Monday Waffle, a round recap. And so we have one of our producers on our show is Vaneen Palm. She's very new to football. But in return for her helping us produce the show, we're helping her learn the game. So we've given her a minute to give us the scores. Okay, Vaneen, when you're ready, off you go. Time starts now.
Yes, Andrew, it was a big round and the West Coast went down 9-9-63 against the Perth Demons 16-13-109. We also then saw Peel Thunder defeating West Perth Falcons.
That's very good.
Peel got 88 and
got
the
88,
Falcons, the Falcons got 85. So they only won by 3 points.
Very close.
Which nail was quite biter. Tight. Yeah, it was definitely a nail biter. And then the Subiaco Lions defeated the East Perth Royals. It was 99-123 to 68-44. And then the Claremont Tigers defeated East Frio Sharks 16-7-103 to 3-7-25. And to finish it off, South Frio Bulldogs defeated Swan Districts 8-5-53 to 7-7-49. So Swan Districts could have had a shot at victory as well if they kicked a bit more accurately.
That's right. Well, very well done, Vaneen. That sounded
great,
very
first
natural.
Report.
You sound like you've been an expert watching this your whole life. That's good.
I might take your job, Andrew. Great prep.
Grady, you also had some insights into the best of field for those games.
Yeah, so for the Eagles versus Demons game, Clinton Jones was best on with 29 disposals, 13 kicks and 1 goal. Peel versus West Perth, Mitch Crowden of Peel, who's also a Fremantle Dockers player, got best on with 32 disposals and 17 kicks. Subiaco versus East Perth, best on was Kyle Horsley, 36 disposals, 23 kicks and 1 behind. Busy game for him. Claremont versus East Frio, best on was Jai Bolton, former Sound Oliver medalist from last year. And he had 35 disposals, 24 kicks and 1 goal. Swan Districts versus South Frio. South Frio obviously came away with the win. And best on was Cade Stewart from South Frio with 28 disposals, 17 kicks and 1 goal. As well as Hayden Sloyth, who was also a best player on the day, who we talked to a little bit later in the podcast.
Play on to the umpire.
Moving right along now and heading towards our first guest. The Perth Demons finished 6th last year, just outside the finals, and will be looking to break in this year for the first time in more than a decade. On the weekend, they took on West Coast in its first ever clash in the Waffle, and they trounced them. Our guest is the senior coach, Earl Spalding. Thank you so much for joining us, Earl. What pleased you most about the win?
Probably the way we fought the game out, and we got better as the game went on. Like you say, it's always hard to know what to expect from a team that's new to the comp and no one really knows what they're going to get with them. So for our guys just to keep working away and probably getting stronger as the game went on was really pleasing.
Following on from that, as a coach, how do you prepare for a club you've never played before?
Yeah, look, it's difficult. We like to give our players as much information on the opposition as you can. And when you play the aligned teams, sometimes that's a bit difficult. But I suppose you just got to change focus to what you can control, and that's making sure we're ready to go and play our best footy. And I thought we did that for most of the game. And we had a few guys step up and play some really good games that we weren't too sure what we were going to get from them, so that was pleasing too.
Who was that in particular who stepped up this game?
Oh, I think we had 6 goals kicked by our outside mids, by both our wingers between them, and you certainly don't expect that going into a game to get 6 goals from those 2 guys. And they've been really working hard at training. They're probably 2 guys who are trying to establish themselves in the team. Well, one's a pretty experienced player, but the other guy's trying to establish himself in the team, and I thought they really played well for the pressure they're probably under.
The goal-kicking mids you speak of there, Brent Edmonds and Sean Smith. Earl, what do you think will be the key to getting you from 6th place last year into the finals this year?
Oh, just a bit of consistency. We've got a young group, but certainly not as young as they have been. So there is a bit of maturity around the place, and we expect those guys to play well every week, whereas when they're a bit younger, sometimes they play well. Next week, they go missing. So we'll be looking for that consistency week in, week out. And if you can bring that and play like we did, or close to like we did on the weekend, then we'll win more games than we lose, and everything else takes care of itself. It's the problem we've had in the past is when you start to look ahead and what's coming up, you tend to miss what's right in front of you, and that's next week's game. So we just got to keep a focus on week by week, which is an old cliche, and I know journos are sick and tired of hearing it, but it's as true as it gets. So.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
And as a coach, do you think you have a particular coaching style that you use that sets you apart?
Well, I think I'm quite approachable. If you speak to the players and some of my children's friends, I think I'm a bit intimidating. So I think I try and be a bit relaxed, try and keep the guys enjoying it, because that's the most important thing. They've got to enjoy playing.
Absolutely.
Try not to get too technical with it, although you do need to have an understanding of you know, the different setups and structures, and it's important they do, but you know, also you don't want to give them too much information. It's the balance, really, from a coaching perspective, is getting that right, is giving them enough information that they can go out and play as well as they can, but not too much information they go out confused. And so if we can get that right, then we're halfway there, I think.
Couple more just from us. If you were to dob in a few players who you think would be, tell us some interesting stories on the podcast, do you have any suggestions?
We've got a couple of good characters. They're pretty quiet, but I think Clayton Giblett have some interesting stories. There's 3 guys that share a house together, which is a little bit concerning at times.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We'll definitely have to get onto them.
I was young once, a long time ago, so I certainly appreciate that part of it. And so he shares a house with Mitch Brown and Casey Nicholas, and Clayton's girlfriend. So I'm not too sure.
She must love that. Yeah.
I'm not too sure what's in it for her. So hopefully they're polite in the house to her at least. Anyway.
And last one for us. Something we're going to poll the coaches on. If there was a rule where you could just pinch a player from another team and he joined your list, if you could pinch a player from any other club, who do you think it would be?
Well, I was on record last year as saying Kyle Horsley. I think there'd probably be a popular vote amongst the coaches just from the professional way he approaches everything, but also the respect he demands from his teammates and the high standards he sets would hold any club in good stead. So I think it'd still be Kyle, even though we're sort of getting more and more experience and we've got really good people in our organisation. I don't think you can ever have enough. So he'd be my pick.
Well, great. Thank you very much, Earl, for joining us today.
No worries, guys.
No time for chit-chat here on the Monday Waffle today. We've just got too many guests. And our next one is Gerald Ugel, or Uges to his friends, as in us here on the Monday Waffle. Star forward for Peel Thunder, who booted 4 goals on the weekend just quietly. But his team only won by 3 points after they were leading by 44 against West Perth. Uges, were you guys lucky to get away with one in the end?
Yeah, we were pretty lucky. They gained momentum in that last quarter. They're obviously a quality outfit, and they're pretty strong for the midfield. And you know, a bit of breeze in that last quarter sort of helped them catch right up and give us a bit of a scare. But I think we were good enough to lock it down in the dying minutes of the game just to get the win. So it was a close one.
Yeah. And you snagged 4 goals. Were you happy with your output for the first game back in the season?
Yeah, I was pretty happy with the kick 4 goals. But, obviously it's a team game, and a couple of other forwards put on a lot of pressure for me to obviously get on the end of a few. So, that was obviously a good start for me personally. was a bit down on form last year, so it was just a good start for me to get my confidence up leading into, you know, into the season.
Absolutely. So they scored very quickly. Obviously, was that a bit of a fright to sort of see West Perth's scoring power?
We've had a I've played against West Perth over a number of years now, and we've had a couple of close games with these guys. So I was sort of expecting them to not give up in that last quarter, and wasn't expecting it to be easy. So we've got a few things that we needed to work on, defensively and working out time of game and when to lock down and attack. It was obviously good to get a game like that early in the season. So it gives us a lot to work on going forward.
And the coach, Cam Shepherd, first of all, what was his message at three-quarter time? And then what was his message after the game as well?
Obviously, he stated that West Perth were a pretty proud club and they weren't just going to let us win easily. So after the game, he was relieved, but he just mentioned don't ever put the coaching and the coaching staff through that again. So I think next time around, if we're ever in that position, we'll go over the tape and, work out ways to stop that, getting goals, letting opposition kick so many goals in a row. He was happy that we won, but, it's sort of a lot of room for improvement too.
Absolutely. As far as new players to the club, I know Matthew Bogensberger is one, and he's actually a friend of mine. He doesn't know it yet, but he'll be coming on the show soon enough. How did you enjoy playing alongside him?
Yeah, no, he's great. Haven't seen a player that can kick both feet for a very long time, and he's great. He can find the ball, and his skills are great, and he's just great to have at the club too. Having a few more older boys because the group's so young, and he brings so much to the club. So yeah, it's great having him down, especially coming from like a class such a strong club like Subiaco. He sets the standards on the training track and on game day.
He might not like me saying this, but has he mentioned his dancing ability yet, or is he saving that for a first club function?
No, I think he might be saving that for a club function.
You make sure you let him know.
About that.
Yeah, yep, he's an absolute demon on the dance floor. And as what about other recruits or new players to the club? Who else did you like the look of or liked playing with?
Obviously Jackson Merritt. He's been a great pickup for us. Ryan Bennell. He debuted on the weekend. We have had a few new faces in the club, and those two really stood out in the preseason games and over the last couple of weeks. So and they started pretty well in the Peel Thunder footy jumper. So those two are pretty good highlights from the recruiting aspect, I think.
Absolutely. Well, Hughes, congratulations on the win, and thank you very much for having a chat to us.
We're with Hayden Sloyth here at the Monday Waffle Podcast. Hayden, great game on the weekend. You were one of the best on the field against Swan Districts. Close win in the end. How are you feeling heading into this season?
Yeah, no, it was a close game. We're pretty lucky to win in the end. Unfortunate that one of the Swan boys missed a goal after the siren, but at this early stage in the season, we'll take 4 points.
Absolutely. And how was it just to get underway after all that pre-season and things like that?
Yeah, no, it's been a long pre-season. I think it was about 5 months worth of pre-season. So, it was finally good to put into practice what we've been learning and trying to work on over the off-season. So, it was good to come away with a win on the weekend.
And who do you think will be your greatest competitors this year?
I still think we're chasing Subi. They've been the best team over the last 10 or so years. So, I think everyone's still chasing them.
Absolutely. So what's your role in the team? And do you feel like you executed that pretty well on the weekend, or are you still working at some goals?
My role is not too sure. It's probably to try and get the ball on the inside and feed it the blokes at the outside. So, I was still a little bit disappointed with my game on the weekend, but it's only round one and I'm going to continue improving the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely no need to be too disappointed with your game on the weekend. Speaking of preparation, do you have a set routine or what does your routine look like for game day?
I'm pretty low-key with all that sort of stuff, so I'm not really too many times, just pretty casual. So, yeah, dinner Friday night, breakfast, but I don't really have a set routine with what I eat and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Very nice and relaxed.
Anything like Lockie Neal and have a float beforehand, or are you just like head into the game nice and cruisy?
Yeah. I do the floats. I try to get one of them in either Thursday or Friday night. So, yeah, I do floats.
Always good for meditation. Helpful. Might need to start that ourselves. What's your preparation looking like for next week against Perth? They did win on the weekend.
Yeah, no, they played quite well from what I hear. So we have training tonight. We'll review the Swan District game. And then when we have training Wednesday and Thursday, it'll be all preparation for Perth. So I'm sure the coaches will do all their homework and put in a good place and a good game plan for us to hopefully execute and come away with the 4 points again on Saturday.
And as far as your teammates go, who really impressed you on the weekend that you were pleased with?
There's a few blokes. It was good to see young Caleb Datson, who came up and played his first game. He played really well, and probably the return of Cade Stewart. He spent a couple of years at Hawthorn and obviously was back home in Katanning last year. So, yeah, he played very well. So I'm looking forward to a big year from him.
We've been chatting to South Fremantle star and 2017 Sandover medalist Hayden Schloyth. Hayden, thank you so much for joining us.
No worries.
Moving on to our last guest of today's serving of the Monday Waffle. Bo Wardman has taken the reins of Subiaco head coach. He takes them from Jared Schofield, who led the club to 3 premierships in 5 years. I caught up with Bo after his side's victory against East Perth on the weekend, a 79-point winners, and I asked him what it was like to open his account as a winner.
Oh, a bit of relief, obviously, to win your first game. But I thought the boys played well consistently throughout the game, so it's a pleasing start and something to build on.
So before the game, do you reckon you were as nervous as most of the players, or even a bit more, or how would you describe it?
Probably during the week, certainly a little bit nervous, not sort of knowing what to expect or what to expect from the opposition. So, but certainly when you get here, you need to present with the face and be ready to go. And I thought positive energy, and the boys thrive off that, and I think our start was replicated through that.
Absolutely. And what pleased you most about today's win, would you say?
Oh, I think the way that the boys were able to really fight it out. We're down a couple of soldiers through injury early on, so sort of to be up against it from that perspective was difficult for them, and the way that they fought through, obviously the start was pleasing, the way that we were able to move the ball and defend strongly to restrict East Perth scoring and tie them up was really strong, and then to be able to run out the game and kick 5 or 6 goals in the last quarter was great.
Yep. Was there anything that you identified that you think there's an area of concern or area that you'll be bringing down to the track?
Oh, I think certainly our discipline was poor at times, to give away 3 goals, direct result from 50-metre penalties, some ill-disciplined free kicks at times probably cost us some momentum. So that's something that we will need to address with our leaders and hopefully rectify for next week.
Absolutely. It was Lee Kitchen's first game as captain. How do you think he handled the occasion taking over from Kyle, obviously?
Oh, I thought he was outstanding before the game, just getting around the boys and really encouraging them with what they needed to do, particularly at breaks. But I suppose his work is also done on the track, and he's, I suppose, really honest with the players and gets the most out of them. So.
And as far as the coaching goes, you've got a bit of an interesting story sort of coming from umpiring, which is sort of irregular.
Yep.
How have you enjoyed that whole process, and how are you enjoying taking the helm?
Oh, it's, I suppose, been a really good transition. Been coaching now for about 12 years at various levels and getting opportunity now at league level. So it's a little bit foreign from that perspective, but you get confidence out of the work that you've been able to do. The transition from umpiring gives you a degree on being able to hold your nerve, I suppose, and have a look at the game holistically. So I try and bring that to the game, be really fair with the players in terms of expectations in what we need to achieve. But our leadership group are really strong and great support from our other coaches. So
congratulations again, and thanks for having a chat.
Beautiful. No worries. Thank you.
Let's get ready to rumble!
The Monday Rumble, what is very fastly becoming the most anticipated radio segment or podcast segment anywhere in the universe. This week, we're discussing the fixtures and whether or not there should be more games spread across the entire weekend, similarly to other competitions like the AFL. And so, canvassing the fixtures, just as we do, the fixtures, basically, vast majority of games are on a Saturday afternoon. There are a couple of Sunday fixtures sprinkled in, as well as a few public holiday games like Good Friday coming up, as well as Anzac Day. Grady, you think the fixture every weekend, there should be a Friday game and at least the Sunday game.
Absolutely.
Sam, you do not.
No way.
I'm letting Grady go first. Grady, talk us through why.
Well, you see, over East in the VFL, they've been doing this for quite a while now. Their fixtures are Friday to Sunday consistently. So obviously it works pretty well over there, and WA should probably follow suit. I also think that families can't go on Saturdays because their kids are in netball, late afternoon netball, morning soccer, morning hockey, different sports. So unfortunately, they can't go to the Waffle game. So that reduces the crowd numbers that can go. And also, I know if I was an AFL player, which let's be honest, I might be. No, I'm just kidding. Builds experience. So I want to know that I can play a Friday night game before I hit the top level.
What it does to my body.
Exactly. So how I prepare, I want to be able to go into a Friday night game going, yep, I've got this. Not, oh my God, I've never played a Friday night in my life. When should I start my routine? What am I going to do? When can I have my last training session? So I want to know that I can play at that level at that time.
And do you think it could also mean for the hardcore Waffle fans, they could go to more than one game over a weekend?
Absolutely. If they're hardcore like me, or not really like me, but anyone that I know, they can go to Friday, Saturday, Sunday and have a whole weekend of footy and make a date of it or something. So
all right, you've pitched your case.
Definitely.
Sam, over to you. Why shouldn't it change?
Well, following on from what Grady said, if you're a Waffle fan, you're a footy fan. And footy fans often follow an AFL team as well. If you spread the games out over the weekend, it's most likely that there'll be a clash between an AFL game. And if you're down for your Friday night footy and your team, your AFL team is playing on the Friday night, you're more likely to watch that than go out and watch a Waffle game, unfortunately. So I just don't see the point and the value in making the two compete. Also, leading on from that, the typical attendance at a Waffle game is 2,000 to 4,000. Last year, there was an exceptional game between East and West Perth that got over 5,000 people down on the day. But I'm just wondering, from a logistics point of view, whether that's enough to justify the legwork to make the game spread out from Thursday to Sunday or Friday to Sunday, and the organisation that would require. And thirdly, from an athlete's point of view, as a player, you want to have a routine. You want to know how to prepare for your game. So if your game was mixed up every week at a different time, a different day, that would interfere with your routine, perhaps would interfere with your work days, and more importantly, it would interfere with your float day.
As Hayden Floyth told us earlier today.
Yeah.
One thing we might have to consider as well, the Waffle, they're not full-time professional athletes. These guys have other jobs throughout the week.
So exactly.
Then factoring that in might make it difficult to have games that are varied and changing all the time as well.
But we could open up to a new audience by putting it on a Friday night and a Saturday and a Sunday.
It's definitely room for debate, and that's what we've done here. But we have to say we're not the experts.
No.
We'd prefer to hear from you, players, coaches, fans, spectators. The best way to get in contact with the show is the Monday Waffle Facebook page. Let us know what you think about fixed changes. Let us know what you think about anything to do with the Monday Waffle podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks
Team
for the
Grady,
Monday Run. Thanks for the Monday Rumble. Very good from both of you. That's all we have time for on this week's show. Catch us again next Monday.